and I need to pray for you. There are two elements in judging. The New Testament Greek word that is most often translated judge or judgment is kerygmo. On the one hand, it means to distinguish or to decide or to determine or to conclude or to try or to think, to call in question. That is what God wants us, if you're born again, his children to do as to whether preachers and teachers and their teachings are true or false in his word. That is what he wants each of us to do. The Apostle Paul writes, and he said, and I'm quoting, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent." You can find that in Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. You see, my friends, the wrong idea of love and the lack of knowledge and judgment causes God's people often to approve things that are anything but excellent in God's sight. And let me add this. This happens much too often in church. We're approving things that are not excellent. And primarily it's done out of ignorance of God's word. You just don't know what God's word says on the issue. Well, you know, I don't know about that. I had some preacher on with me a while back, and I asked the gentleman to turn to Galatians 6:1 to look at this thing, and I was talking about what it meant in the Greek, and he said, "I don't know about that Greek and all about this, but all I know is that we're supposed to love." No, no, no. You just brushed off God's word. Practice biblical exegesis before you try to say, "Help me, Jesus." Thank you, Jesus. So we see that the epistle in Philippians, as well as the epistle to the Hebrews, tells us that mature believers, that is, those who are full age, are those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You can see that in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. As a matter of fact, let's go there. I think I want to go there and read that. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14, it reads like this: "Concerning him, we have much to say." And then the writer goes on and says, "It is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing." See, the writer is saying, you Hebrew Christians have become dull of hearing the blessed word of God. Then he goes on in verse 12, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers." I can relate to that. I pastored a church that should have been, as a matter of fact, I was equipping the entire church to be a teaching church in the community. He says, "By this time you ought to be teachers. You have need again for someone to teach you." Isn't that ridiculous? Here it is, you're sitting under some of the best teaching in the world. I have a very dear pastor friend of mine. I'm just calling him HH. Most of you know who he is. This guy was teaching that church for years. Jesus. Check this out. And then he says, "You have need for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food." What's wrong with the church that sits there Sunday after Sunday, week after week, month after month, year after year, and you're still on stupid baby food? I mean, 30 or 40 years in the church, and all you know is, "I got a feeling everything gonna be all right." You got a feeling. You got a subliminal, subjective, empirical knowledge without biblical revelation through the inerrancy of the inspired word of God. You are totally debauched and out of your mind, and I beg your pardon, about ready to bust tail wide open. Now, see, you don't like my style? Well, you keep feeling that everything's going to be all right, and when you wake up in a burning hell, you know that you should have listened to a preacher that was trying to wake up your distorted worldview. Let me continue to read the blessed word of God. And listen, reading and teaching the word of God like this will get me in trouble, for this cause came I into this hour. And you pastors out there need to talk to your people like this and shock the hell out of your church and preach biblical truth. This word was not given to a bunch of wimps to wimpize away the truth of the gospel. You know, I'm loving this as I do this because it's just me and the Holy Spirit in this room, and I'm loving every minute of it. Look at verse 13. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. What's wrong with you folk out there? You've been listening to Living by the Word week after week after week. Some of you people know me personally and cannot stand me. You know I don't give a rooty toot about that. I want to know, are you abiding by the blessed word of God? Uh-oh, there you go. You've judged me. You're asking me if I'm abiding by it. If I'm not, I hope he kills me. Can you say the same for yourself? If not, judge ye yourselves. How dare you judge me when I can stand under the teaching that I'm teaching and you're about ready to turn the stupid radio off and you know exactly who you are, hiding out in the halls of Ecclesia, trying to find a church that got 40,000 members because you don't even want to be accountable to anybody. I don't have to give John my money. Praise God for that. I didn't get into this business to get no money, honey. But let me read verse 14. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. I rest my case upon the word of God. And on the other hand, the Greek word karino, judge or judgment, means to condemn. See, it just doesn't mean to distinguish or to decide or to determine, to conclude or to try or to think or to call into question, but it also means to condemn or to sentence or to punish. See, it has a double meaning. That's why we judge. That's what it's all about. This is God's prerogative. For he has said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. That's found in Romans chapter 12, verse 19. For those of you that think that Christians are stupid and make it up and never quote scripture, I've just quoted it. God said, vengeance is mine. See, that's why when people do things to me, I don't try to get back. God said, oh, buddy, when I get through with you, John Coleman, see, if I've ever harmed any of you wrongfully, don't worry about me. When God gets through roasting my I will wish, pray, cry, and weep and gnash and long for the day to bow down at your sweet, beautiful feet and kiss your toes. God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. So judgment also means that we have to guard against the wrong attitude. Guard against the wrong attitude. Christians should guard against the tendency of the flesh to assume a critical and censorious attitude towards those who do not share your opinion about other matters than those which you have, which do with Bible doctrine and moral conduct. In other words, well, you don't believe the way that I believe, and so you're going to hell. Oh, no, I know I may be going to hell if I do that. I do not judge someone and look down on them because they're not, you know, someone who says, well, you know, you're not Baptistic, or you've heard people say, well, I know the camp that John's in. He graduated from Talbot. And you see, I graduated from the Master Seminary, and I graduated from the Presbyterian. Oh, and I'm Lutheran, and I'm Reformed, and I'm a full 5 point, and I'm a 4.5. You're full of it, full of it, full of it, full of it when you judge your brother. How dare you do that? Guard against that attitude. You're almost hinging upon Phariseeism. And that's why God can't get a cotton picking thing done through the church today. The first thing that you ask the brother is, what camp did he come out of, instead of listening to his heart? You have judged him wrongfully, rather than picked to pieces our brethren in Christ. It is our privilege and our duty to do everything that we can to encourage their spiritual edification. If they don't know what you know, do what Priscilla and Aquila did. If they don't know what you know, do what Paul did to the guys that believed in John the Baptist, and I believe that's Acts chapter 19. We are to love and to pray for one another, and then we are to consider ourselves lest we be tempted. Ah, yes. Where's that at? Galatians 6 and 1. You heard me mention that verse earlier. Galatians 6 and 1. What does it say? Get your Bible. Stop getting your jaws tight. Grab your Bible and turn to it. But I'll turn to it. I can quote it verbatim, but I just don't want to misquote it for you. Brethren. The implication is that he's speaking to Christians. If any man is caught in any trespass, since he called them brethren, he was talking about Christians caught in trespasses. That means that Christians can sin. Christians can make a mistake. Christian can blow it. Christians can do immoral deeds. Christians can do that. I can do it. I can say it. I can experience it. Oh, let me give you somebody else. John MacArthur can. Oh, yes. Tony Evans can. I'm just mentioning some of your heroes out there. J. Vernon McGee could. Oh, yes, I don't know one Christian that hasn't sinned and haven't sinned since he's been pastoring and preaching. Show me one, and I'll show you a bald-faced lie who's ready to bust tail wide open. Show me one that's ready to come on this radio presentation with me and say that he or she, God forbid, even as a teacher, hasn't sinned, and I may bust them open. Now, let's go back to the verse. Brethren, if any man is caught in any trespass, that means any Christian, man or woman, generically speaking, you who are spiritual. Now, she's, John, do you mean that? You stop judging me and ask yourself this question. Are you the one that he's talking to? Don't be asking if it's me. As far as I'm going to do, I'm going to strive to be the one that's spiritual. That's what my objective is. Yay, yay. I'm going to brag on being spiritual. That's what the anointing in my life is all about. These other guys talking about the anointing to get them a Cadillac. You're going to bust hell open, fool, with your Cadillac. But I don't even want that anointing. I want the anointing of being spiritual. You who are spiritual, he says, restore such a one. Some of you think that if a preacher sins, he can never be restored. You out of your mind. The Bible just says, restore such a one. But how do you do it? In the spirit of gentleness. Gentleness. Now, I know that that's, you're accusing me of not being that. It's not my time to be gentle with you now. You haven't repented. You're too busy with your jaws tight at me this moment. I'm trying to get you to understand what I'm saying. Stop judging wrongfully. Stop getting upset at me when I judge someone else. With gentleness, each one looking to yourself, lest you too be tempted. He ends up the verse and says, oh, you think you're above falling? You think you're above sinning? Preacher, Pastor John, you think you're above it? If you know anybody that knows me personally, they'll tell you that I have sinned. I'm just going to tell you right now, that's none of your business. Judge your own self instead of you trying to judge me. See, you foolish-hearted Christians, that's what you want to do. You want to know what I've done, don't you? You got it all wrong. Look in the mirror. That's what I do every morning, and I say, oh, my God, how can you even allow me to live another day? Let me give a final word here. If any one of you are saved, my listeners, let us not forget that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, for we must all know this. If you are saved, and I'm speaking to those of you that are listening to this presentation, let us not forget that we must all, that means every single one of us, must appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the deeds done in our body, whether those deeds are good or bad. That scripture is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. It will be well with those who are studying God's word and walking in the light of that very word and living for Christ and living out the salvation of their souls. But it will go ill with those who have accepted Christ but who are living for the very things of the world. If you are a mere professor of Jesus Christ and not possessing anything, my friend, listen. I must caution you severely. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17 says, that judgment must begin in the house of God. Judgment begins in the church house. Judgment begins with believers. Judgment begins with folk like us. And if it begins with us, Peter says, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? We've got to judge. We are called to judge. I am just, as the man that wrote this article that I'm quoting from, I'm pleading with you not to delay. One more moment. I mean, the time is up. The time is up of all of this delay. Because we need to say, Lord, in that area of not feeling very fond of Pastor John and living by the word ministries, doing what they're doing, did you know that there's certain Christian group that are literally praying against this ministry, living by the word? Did you know that there are certain pastors, I want you to get this, because I do want to take my time on this. I don't want to rush through this. There are certain pastors that are literally, I don't know whether it's, I don't know what it is, because you don't have the gift maybe to come on the radio and do what I do. And if you are thinking about buying radio time, all you want to do is refute or try to teach better than me. Please, I judge you as a fool. There are enough people. Listen, in my community, I can't drive down one major street and not see enough churches that are there that has at least a classroom in a block, 1 week that's open. If you found one minister within a block radius in South Central Los Angeles that can go to one church and just hold a Bible study to teach this on judging and let all the different Christians from all the different churches come in one night a week. Don't